You're listening to the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast, where we're talking about Wyoming's hidden gems, road trips, scenic byways, and everything else in between. My name is Charles Lammers, and I'm with the Wyoming Office of Tourism. Today, Emily Sweat and Brian Beauvais are with us to discuss Wyoming's Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway. Emily Sweat works with the City of Cody, and Brian is with the Park County Archives, both very close to the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway. Hi, Emily. Go ahead and give us a little introduction.
Hi, good to be here. I am a city council member here in Cody. I guess I've been on city council for a year and a half. And in that capacity, I also serve on the Park County Travel Council and actually a few other boards as well. And just do a lot of different things in the community. So I love Cody. I love Park County. And love being here in Wyoming.
Awesome. Brian, welcome to the show. Give us a little bit about yourself.
Howdy. I am the curator of the Park County Archives here in Cody. So it's kind of my job to collect, preserve, and research the history of Park County and just be aware of all the historic sites and sort of help the public learn about local history.
Awesome. There's a lot of history here, so it's great to have someone like you on the show. Emily, can you give us a little bit of background about Cody? Cody is about 25 miles east of the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway, but there is a lot to see from this gateway city.
Yeah. And I mean, when people ask kind of where is Cody, typically the two options are, well, it's about 20 miles from Montana or 50 miles or 52 miles from Yellowstone. So definitely a gateway city, both to the beautiful area around us in Northwest Wyoming and the Bighorn Basin. Like I said, pretty close to Montana as well, but it's just, it's a small town. Again, I think we just passed about 10,000 people. So that's, I guess, exciting, maybe. But lots to do, lots to see, especially in sort of that the nature and outdoor recreation side of things.
Awesome. Big enough to have what you need, small enough to have small town charm.
That couldn't have said it any better.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we're going to get more into Cody because of the namesake of this scenic byway, but we'll give you a little bit of an update or a little bit of an overview of what the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway is. So this byway starts about 25 miles west of Cody. You're going to come to a small town called Wapiti, and this road heads towards Yellowstone through the Shoshone National Forest. It's filled with beautiful views and majestic wildlife. There are hikes, historic lodges along the way before reaching the gorgeous final destination, Yellowstone National Park. So by the namesake, Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway, we need to know where Buffalo Bill came from and how is it related to this drive?
So Buffalo Bill was a showman. He was born in Iowa. He went out on the frontier at a young age. He actually hunted buffalo professionally to feed railroad workers. And he eventually got into the crosshairs of a dime novelist named Ned Buntline, who started producing dime novels featuring Buffalo Bill as a sort of a Western character. And from there, when Buffalo Bill gained all this notoriety as a character in a book, he took that fame and turned it into sort of a Wild West circus, you might say, traveling around the country and around Europe, putting on these Wild West shows where he would have cowboys ride around, Indians, authentic Indians. And it was sort of meant as a way to show people who would never actually see the frontier, some frontier images. So he was really one of the first internationally known celebrities. We might not think of him that way in 2022, but in the late 1800s, everyone around the world knew who Buffalo Bill was.
So if we put him in 2022, he's definitely got a verified TikTok account.
Absolutely. He's a Kardashian. Okay.
Right.
Blue check mark all the way.
So that being said, there's a lot of semblance in Cody that has to do with Buffalo Bill, everything from the night rodeo to the Irma Hotel and even the gunfighters. Could you tell us a little bit about the Cody night rodeo? I know that he had a lot to do with that show starting up, and he used to have something to do with the rodeo and how we do have that night show.
I mean, the rodeo is, I think, one of the most beloved things in Cody. I'll let Brian speak to any of the history behind it, but it has been going for over 100 years. I think it was just inducted into the either World Rodeo Hall of Fame or National Rodeo Hall of Fame. And I think it's also, I mean, it goes every single night from June 1st until the end of August 31st. And unless the weather is really terrible, you will have a rodeo going on. Some of the most fun rodeos are around the 4th of July. Make sure you buy tickets in advance. But there's a lot of, you know, more well-known riders that come in. They do extreme bullfighting, I think usually the last day of June. So it's just, it's really one of those things that Cody really rallies around. And just, I think having this tradition of this huge event for so many years. And I mean, I think almost everybody that comes through Cody has to go to the rodeo. That's just one of those things you have to do.
And rodeo in Cody started as an informal event whereby Buffalo Bill would audition local cowboys to be hired into his Wild West show.
Sounds like a lot of fun. And rodeo is Wyoming's official sport. So if you have never been one, the Cody Night Rodeo is a fantastic first rodeo to go to. Extremely welcoming people and a lot of fun. So we talk about the historic Irma Hotel and the Cody Gunfighter Show. Those two go hand in hand because the Gunfighter Show happens right outside the Irma Hotel. Now, the Irma Hotel has something to do with Buffalo Bill as well, and it's related to one of his family members. Brian, could you give me a little more information on that?
Yeah, the Irma Hotel is named after Buffalo Bill's daughter. And Buffalo Bill built the Irma Hotel in 1902, and he sort of made this hotel as an agreement with the Burlington Railroad that came to Cody, the town of Cody, in 1901. And his agreement was that he would build a big hotel in Cody because there was nothing there. So the railroad said, why are we building a railroad to the middle of nowhere? And he also built hotels further up the North Fork along the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway, Wapiti Inn and also Pahaska Teepee. And all these hotels were meant to facilitate tourist traffic up to Yellowstone National Park. And the Irma Hotel was just the first stop along that line.
I take it he was very successful in setting up that tourist route.
Absolutely.
Awesome. It's time to head up the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway. Before we even get that far out of Cody heading west, we've got some great things to see already. We've got the Buffalo Bill State Park and Reservoir, and with it, the Buffalo Bill Dam Visitor Center. Just tell us a little bit about that. There are some great outdoor rec opportunities, hiking, boating, you name it.
So the reservoir, the dam, I should say, was built in, it was completed in 1910. And at that point, it was the highest concrete dam in the country, I think. And today it offers numerous outdoor recreation opportunities, boating, paddleboarding, fishing, hiking around its banks. In the canyon below the dam, there's great rock climbing.
Cliff jumping safely. There's a rock that a lot of like local teens and people like to go once the water level is up on a hot summer day, which is really nice. Yeah. And I think one of the nicest sort of in-town hikes that we like is Cedar Mountain, which really overlooks the reservoir. And that's kind of right past the rodeo grounds, right before you get out to the dam. There's a turnoff to the south for that hike. But there's a lot really in just that little corridor as you head out of town and start making your way up to the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway.
Absolutely. One of my favorite hikes out in that area is actually in the grounds of the Buffalo Bill State Park, and that's the Sheep Mountain Conservancy hike. And that hike is a fantastic sunrise hike. Now, when I say sunrise hike, it's not like there's a paved trail to go up there. So when you go that way, make sure you have your bear spray, make sure you have your water. It will take you probably a good 3 or 4 hours in and out. That is at a pretty brisk pace. So just keep that in mind. But there's just things like that out there. And the headwaters to the lake on the south side of the road, even that is a fantastic area to have recreation. And then there's the numerous campgrounds along the state park. Do you guys have a favorite that you would recommend on the state park grounds?
Yeah. So I can't remember what it's called. The campground right at Trout Creek on the northwest side of the reservoir is absolutely beautiful. There are always deer there on the green grass. There are springs, and it's right below Sheep Mountain.
Awesome. Heading west from Buffalo Bill State Park and Reservoir, we're going to come to a small town called Wapiti. There's not much there, but there's some quirky things to keep an eye out for. Brian, you want to tell us about one of the most interesting things that people can keep an eye out for on the south side of the road?
Yeah. So a few years ago, I don't actually remember when, there was a Big Boy, a statue of Big Boy, from Burger fame, placed on the south side of the road a few hundred yards away from the road. And it's very easy to miss. But if you look, you'll see a Mr. Big Boy holding up a burger in a wonderful, beautiful scenic valley.
And it just happens to be sitting in an open pasture. So it's easy to see, but also easy to miss. When I first saw this about 10 years ago, I was driving that highway and I saw it and I was a little tired and I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. But then again, I also thought that a lot when I would be driving this highway and I'd see teepees and some very unique infrastructure. Some of the infrastructure that you'll see on the south side of the road will make you question whether you're really seeing something or not. Big Boy is one I would highly recommend keeping an eye out for just because it's fun.
It's a very surprising find.
Yes.
People
ask us about it randomly all the time. Why is there a Big Boy out in the middle of a field?
And I don't think it really has a whole lot of... It's not there necessarily for a specific reason.
No.
But it's just there.
So we're going off script now, guys. The story that I was told is the guy who owned that pasture didn't really get along with his neighbor. And his neighbor put up some... maybe more fine art sculptures in his pasture. So this guy was like, oh, if we're going to be fancy smancy people who are putting up big statues in our yard, then I'm going to put up a Big Boy statue. How do you like that?
That's what I've heard about Big Boy as well. So I can back up the legend on that. So among the very quirky and unique finds along the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway, you're going to see a lot of opportunities for wildlife. What are we going to see as we traverse the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway?
This is probably one of the best spots to see bison and bighorn sheep, I think, are the two main things. We also see a lot of herds of elk, especially kind of in the shoulder seasons more. You'll see a lot of elk.
I should also make clear that the word wapiti is the Native American word for elk.
Which is very fitting, given the large number of elk in the area. But yeah, bison, bighorn sheep, elk, deer, of course.
Bears are common up the North Fork up by Pahaska. And there are also some moose down in the valley as well.
So plenty of opportunity to see a wide variety of wildlife. Is there a certain time of day where you would see more or less?
I would say that dawn and dusk are always great times to see the wildlife. So that probably means an early morning or, you know, staying out a little bit later. I will say that there are many times that we see people who are going too fast when it's dark out and they hit deer. So just if you're driving in the dark or driving at that time, be very careful that you're looking out for the wildlife around. But I'd say those two times. And I would say definitely kind of throughout the year, you're going to be able to see something. Some of our favorite time to go up there is during the winter, quite frankly, because there's just not as much activity up there and you can see a lot of wildlife.
Then the landscape would probably change drastically as well from the summer. I know there's a lot of red rock up there. And so when you have snow on red rock, it really offsets that color and gives you a unique perspective that you wouldn't see in warm weather seasons.
Absolutely.
So the western portal of the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway would roughly end around Pahaska Teepee, which is where Buffalo Bill's hunting lodge used to be. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it's still there.
Okay, so Pahaska Teepee is Buffalo Bill's hunting lodge.
True.
Okay, so just past Pahaska Teepee is where the eastern gate of Yellowstone National Park is. And so when people are heading out to Yellowstone National Park between Cody and Pahaska Teepee, there's not a lot there as far as gas and restaurants go. Is that correct?
Well, so there's one gas station at Wapiti called Red Barn, which in case you didn't fill up your tank in Cody, which you probably should have anyways, you can get a tank of gas there. I think there's actually a sign there that says last gas for 50 miles or something. And in Wapiti, around Wapiti and up the North Fork towards Pahaska, there are numerous guest ranches that do have sort of a informal restaurant aspect where you can drop in and get a bite to eat. But no like diners or anything like that.
No McDonald's, no fast food, but there are definitely a few spots in Wapiti that you can stop and get a drink or some food. So it's not completely barren, but definitely still recommend kind of stocking up before you go, fill up the tank, pack some food just in case.
So if we're looking for food, we're going to look for more of the hidden gem type places and non-traditional advertising. So you might see a lodge and that place might have a restaurant.
Yep. And I think Wapiti Lodge, kind of right in Wapiti, is one of the... I think they're reopening, or they just reopened and they've got a restaurant there. The other thing, even though there are restaurants, a lot of them one thing that we kind of noticed around here is that sometimes they're just closed for whatever reason. And so you might think that, oh yeah, we're going to stop here. And for whatever reason, they might just be closed that day. So we just kind of have to be, you know, aware that things might not always be open 24/7 or all day long when you're headed up that way.
And do your research before you're out of cell phone coverage.
That was going to be my next question. Even though in Wyoming, we say, well, the places with no service give you a better connection, we still have areas where we don't have cell service. So that area probably isn't known for having a good connection.
You get good cell service, or I'd say pretty good cell service, up to Wapiti. Once you get past Wapiti, pretty much from Wapiti up to the east gate of Yellowstone, it's pretty dead. And then I think once you get into Yellowstone, you'll start to hit a little bit more surface. But there's definitely probably a good 20, 30 miles in there that you're pretty disconnected.
Gotcha.
Or reconnected, depending on how you look at it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I'd say the only place that I'm aware of along that route that has even Wi-Fi would be Pahaska Teepee until you get to Fishing Bridge service area in Yellowstone National Park. So another one of those places where it might be handy to have a map before you go.
Definitely.
Places like Sunlight Sports in Cody or the Cody Visitor Center might have those.
Yep, I would say those two spots are definitely the places to go before you head off on your way.
Gotcha. This is a very popular byway just due to its proximity between Cody and Yellowstone. What would you say is your favorite activity to do along the way?
So we do a lot of hiking. Every canyon coming into the North Fork offers great hiking opportunities to the north and to the south for miles, sometimes 20, 30 miles. The North Fork River itself is a great fly fishing destination. The Buffalo Bill Reservoir offers great spawning ground for cutthroat trout and rainbow trout. So it's kind of known as a blue ribbon fishery. Great fishing up there from the spring to into the winter.
Yeah, I'd echo the hiking for sure. Quite frankly, as locals, we probably don't go into Yellowstone National Park as much as many of the tourists that come visit. We love it there, but we typically will find places. We have dogs, and so we love to hike with our dogs. But we also really like there's a restaurant called Cutthroat, which is a beautiful restaurant that's kind of a little more upscale. And it's just a really nice change of pace. So sometimes we'll go for a hike and then we'll try to end the day at Cutthroat Ranch for a nice meal. That's just something different than what we can get here in town.
In the winter, we do a lot of skiing up the North Fork, both at Sleeping Giant Ski Area, which is an alpine ski area, and also just cross-country skiing up at Pahaska and just anywhere around the North Fork with our dogs.
Fantastic. And a good rule of thumb for that entire area would be to have bear sprays at least in your car. Is that correct?
I'd say on your person for sure. So don't leave the car without the bear spray. You know, that's if you don't have it, that's probably when you're going to need it most. But I know a lot of stores, especially in the summer, Walmart, Walgreens, all the stores really offer bear spray. They also make it really clear you cannot return it, even if you haven't used it. But trust me, it'll be a good $45 or $50 to spend to kind of have that sense of security on your way.
Sure. And if you absolutely don't have any, I've also seen it's for sale at Pahaska Teepee and in Yellowstone National Park. But it's one of those things, like you said, you would be better off to have and not need than to need and not have. And it's also one of those things you definitely don't want to test out before you use it. Just trust that you've got a good can that's not expired and you then use it. Because from past experience, if you set it off, it's not one of those things where you're going to want to use it again because your eyes will probably be burning from the 30-foot stream of hot pepper gas and stuff that you've just set off. Nor will anyone around you want to be your friend anymore, especially if they're not a bear. So just keep that in mind when you're getting your first can of bear spray. Just keep it. Keep the pen in unless you absolutely need it.
Seems like good advice to me. And Wyoming is notoriously windy. And so no matter what, even if you spray it away from you, I've heard that you will always get some coming back at you no matter what, even if it's being sprayed at a bear. So
it's like, anyways. You know exactly why my friend Kevin isn't my friend anymore.
Exactly.
So this byway ends at the eastern gate of Yellowstone National Park, and we're going to have a lot of people that's their final destination. From a couple of locals, you don't go to the park as much as tourists do. That's completely normal. But what do you find as your favorite attractions in the park?
Well, I just went to the park last week. I think the scenery is absolutely wonderful, especially this time of year when everything's green. And also the wildlife. I go to the park to look at buffalo a lot, elk, just to see those wildlife along the road close up. It's kind of hard to get anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think the falls are always beautiful. Any of the major tourist destinations are still incredibly beautiful for us. You know, we're kind of lucky that we're able to access things that are similar in other ways. And so that's maybe one of the reasons that we choose to go elsewhere. But again, we're always on the lookout for the wildlife. I don't think I've actually seen a bear in Yellowstone personally. So that's still on my bucket list to see a bear or some cubs. But it's also just being in the car and driving. We're also nerds and we love to play the license plate game. And I don't think there's anywhere else. I think we've gotten up to 46 license plates in the span of maybe 2 or 3 hours. And we will go through parking lots to make sure that we've caught them all. So, you know, it's kind of a fun day for us, even as locals, just to drive around and kind of just get that experience.
I will say, although Emily, I'm disappointed to hear that you've never seen a bear in the park. I've seen plenty of bears in the park. You just have to go up there and look around. We also just like going to the hot springs, West Thumb, Old Faithful, and just walking around on the boardwalks there is very relaxing. Having an ice cream cone, if you're lucky, one of the best days I could ever ask for.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. I'd say that's a great way to spend a day in the park. So that's the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway from east to west. As far as heading back to Cody, where would you recommend people stay if they decide to make a stay over in Cody? Where would you recommend that they eat? What are some of the lesser known attractions that you would have them check out in Cody?
That's a great question. We have a number of different hotels, from the more historic Irma Hotel, which I would definitely recommend booking early. And I know in the summer, hotels and kind of vacation rentals do book up fast. So I would definitely plan in advance if you're planning to come in the summer. And there's a really lovely smaller hotel called the Chamberlain Inn, which especially in the shoulder seasons is it's probably more of a couple, not necessarily as family friendly, but just kind of, it's a nice, also historic hotel with a lovely patio. They play live music on the weekends and actually during the week, and we'll have food trucks there. We have a lot of food trucks. We have a new brewery, Cody Craft Brewing, that's home to, they're having a number of food trucks this summer, and hopefully that'll continue going forward. But definitely going to Cassie's Saloon as you come back into town for a steak and hearing some live music. There's Cody Cattle Company, which offers, it's right next to the rodeo actually. And so they time their dinner and show kind of right around when the rodeo starts so that you can kind of do all of that at the same time.
And I would also say that maybe if you're coming back to Cody from Yellowstone, check out some of the guest ranches up on the North Fork along the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway. Some of those are wonderful. It's a very Western, authentic Western wilderness experience.
Yeah, and of course, there's always opportunities to stay in Yellowstone National Park. I know last summer, a number of the lodging options, and especially during the pandemic, had been closed. And I think some people were pleasantly surprised that staying in Cody was actually not as far away as people may have thought. And that the drive is beautiful. And it's kind of nice to come back and kind of have those amenities when you get back into town after a long day in the park and just be able to kind of walk downtown and get something to eat. So I think hopefully that's something we'll continue to see, but I always recommend staying in Cody when you're going to visit the park.
Fantastic. Now, I always recommend that people stay at local small town places to stay, eat at small town places to eat, but should people be preferential towards a big box experience? Does Cody have any name brand hotels such as Holiday Inn, or even if you're in an RV, do you have KOA? I know the airport also flies in major airlines.
Yeah, so the airport, at this time, we are only receiving United Airlines service, but I believe we're up to about 4 flights a day in the summer season. In the winter, it's about 2. There's also Billings, Montana, which is typically a pretty easy drive and has more airlines, Delta, American, United, Alaska Airlines also flies into Billings. And then there is a KOA, which is incredibly popular, has a great pool. So that's always something to check out. There are a couple of other great RV parks around. So if people are taking a road trip, and then we do have a Holiday Inn There's a fairly brand new Hampton Inn, actually, that's out kind of by the rodeo. So that's definitely something to check out. Best Western Premier. Definitely, we do have the hotel chains for people to stay in as well. So, and they're great also.
So Cody has it all from large to small. We've got big box hotels. We've got mom and pop places. And rumor has it, you can even stay in a teepee at a couple of places. So that's pretty fascinating to understand. And if you don't want to drive into Cody, you can fly into Cody, rent a car, and then see the park, and then come back and spend some time in Cody.
Sounds like a perfect time to me.
Anything else you two would like to add about the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway or the city of Cody?
I think the only thing I would add would be that I think some people get so focused and laser focused on going to Yellowstone National Park that they kind of miss out on the byway itself. So, you know, when you're going to Yellowstone, make part of that journey and part of that experience enjoying the byway. Don't just be so focused on getting past. It's a fairly straight road, so it can kind of be easy to just sort of go on autopilot and just kind of try to zoom there as fast as you can. But I would always encourage people to really soak up that stretch of the road as well, because it's equally as beautiful in a different way, but it's just, it can be such a great experience as well.
There are so many crazy rock formations on the North Fork along the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway that you could spend days just looking up canyons, looking at all these rock formations, looking at the mountains around on the North Fork.
Fantastic advice. Great to hear a local's perspective on the Buffalo Bill Scenic Byway. Emily and Brian, thanks for joining me today on the Hello Wyoming podcast.
Thanks for having us.
And to our listeners, when traveling, make sure to visit Wyoming responsibly. Visit travelwyoming.com to plan your Wyoming vacation. And to visit Cody specifically, visit codywyoming.org. Don't forget to follow along on our social media channels and use hashtag Wyoming and hashtag That's Why as you post. See you on the next episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast. This has been another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Charles Lammers and produced by Relic.